Everybody, we have a very exciting bonus episode for you today. We are talking about not one, but two series of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah!
We had to do it. We had to do it. We just love RuPaul's Drag Race, and resist as we might, we just always end up talking about it. And so we thought we'd create another bonus episode for you all about RuPaul's Drag Race. We are talking RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. And we're going to also talk about our early thoughts and predictions on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11. So, are you ready, Jenny?
I am ready. It's been like a Drag Race waterfall, cascading of content and lovely, lovely RuPauliness. It's been great fun. So, yes, I'm ready.
Have you just been enriching yourself in all the draggery?
I really have, because I've been ill. So, it's been a perfect time to get Now TV. Woo! And then just watch all of the All-Stars. And then it's been really good.
Oh, so All-Stars 4, it is finished. Jenny, what are your thoughts? There's so much to say.
Are we going to do, like, this? We're not going to mess around with spoilers and stuff, are we? We're just going to say what's happened. We're not going to...
Yeah, well...
We're not going to be coy.
Spoiler alert, if you've not seen All-Stars 4 and you plan to, then I suggest you stop listening to this podcast right now because there's going to be all sorts of spoilers going forthwith.
Yep. That's it. So I thought it was great. I really enjoyed the whole thing, apart from the end, which is a massive cop-out. Because the Queen's winning. That's the end of it. That is my thoughts. Don't matter, but just the whole thing. Just get rid of it all. Just choose someone and go with it.
Okay, let's...
let's do two and then hastily edit it together because we didn't film it like that.
Okay, nobody knows. Let's unpack this.
Unpack all my problems. Come on.
So... You're not happy with the ending. What part of it are you not happy with? Is it with the result? Is it the final episode? Is it the song? Is it how they got there?
No. I don't mind. I don't mind when they don't send anyone home. I don't mind, you know, people come back, that was a massive mess the whole time, wasn't it? People just kept coming back because they want Latrice to win, but Latrice wasn't going to win. Let's keep bringing her back. Keep bringing her back. She might win. She's not going to win. She doesn't care. She wasn't giving it her all. But they were... Just the whole point of the series is to make a decision. So just make a decision. Don't go, they both did very well. We'll give them both the crown. So just make a decision and just stick with it.
I can see you're very passionate about this.
Yeah. So what did you think? Did you think it was fine?
I thought it was fine. I felt conflicted about who was going to win out of the final two. For a start, the final two shouldn't have been who the final two were, in my humble opinion.
Really? Who did you think should have been the final two?
I, personally, my final two were Manila and Trinity.
It's such a shame, because Manila did so well the whole season. It was such a shame that she went.
I think there's just...
Yeah, she would have been my winner anyway.
I just think there's, again, just a flaw with the whole system. I mean, it's fun that other people get to whoever wins the lip sync gets to choose who goes home. But I think the judges need to have some sort of veto control that if they really disagree, they have a buzzer to press and they can change the result or something. Because although I think it was Naomi and Monet both voted for Manila to go.
Manila, yeah.
Although Naomi seemed to get all the hassle from it, although the other Monet would have picked Manila too. She shouldn't have gone. It's like losing the... one of the most gifted and entertaining people. And why would you do that to your TV show?
That is the major flaw, is that if they're clever, they're going to vote out the best, they're going to pick the best one to go home.
Yeah.
And then you're left with
all the crap ones.
All the rubbish ones. Unless the person who's going to win it wins it all the way through and gets to choose who goes.
Yeah.
It's a massive flaw in it.
Yeah.
Although this time I didn't mind them having their little chats so much. Normally I skip over that because it annoys me.
What do you mean their little chats?
I didn't mind it quite so much.
What's the little chat?
Oh, when they sit down and go, oh, don't get rid of me. I've worked so hard, and they cry.
Oh,
I love you. Oh, I've worked so hard for this. This is my dream. Oh, and they all say the same thing over and over again.
So when
I get bored and I fast forward it.
So when the winners talk to the people in the bottom two to work out who they're going to get rid of. Yeah.
But I didn't mind it so much this time.
I didn't mind them so much. I don't mind them at all, really, to be honest. So but you're not happy with having two winners?
No. I can't believe that you are.
Well, the thing was, so I'm, although I don't read Reddit, I don't really look at Twitter for comments on RuPaul's Drag Race because quite often I just really disagree with what everyone says. So many of the fans of RuPaul's Drag Race seem really keen to kind of attack one of the queens for no real fair apparent reason. And I don't know, I just really don't like the fandom. Some of it's awesome, some of it's fun, but I just find a lot of it very judgy and it kind of takes away the spirit of the whole point of the show, which is to kind of show an alternative to the mainstream. And now that it's kind of becoming more mainstream, it's almost eating itself, where the fans are becoming the attackers, which I don't really like. But anyway, so where was I going with that? Oh, yes. So there's a lot of talk in various places of the internet that the Drag Race Hall of Fame, it's all white people. It's all white men. And whilst I see that and whilst I acknowledge that, I also feel that, well, you can't make someone win based on the colour of their skin. And you can't have a black or brown or Asian or whatever. You can't have a queen that is not Caucasian win because they are not Caucasian. That's just, it's just bonkers. It should be way, it should be about way more than that, of course. So when there's two front runners that are quite good, and I do like Monet and I like Monique as well, but I just really love Trinity. I wouldn't have minded if they had won because I think it would have been quite a win that was able to shut all those fans up that keep talking about playing the race card. Because it's just irritating. And so I didn't really mind if Monet or even Monique had won for that reason. However, I look at it as who I'd pay to go and see. And I just find Trinity more entertaining. I find her funny. I just find Monet sometimes, the way she keeps flogging her Soak It Up and her sponges. It's like, that was just from a really shitty challenge that they did in the very first episode of season 10. And she's just riding it. And it looks crap. It's like a SpongeX sponge that sits on your draining board. Why do you want to turn that into your brand? It's just crap. And it felt like she wasn't kind of innovating and going to more exciting places that she should have. But then I guess you could say the same about Monique, because she keeps wanging on about brown cows and things, and it's a bit like, at least the cow is more attractive to look at than a sponge, I suppose.
They've all got their gimmicks, haven't they?
Yeah, but I don't know. I find Monet quite tedious for that matter. And I just want to see something fresh and something new each time, and something that makes me think, wow, that's really exciting, that's really interesting. And that's kind of what I want. I want to see the creativity. And I think with Monet, it's just a kind of rehash and recycle a lot of the times. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And I just find Trinity just really funny as well, just with her when she's chatting. And I found her quite relatable. Not that I have tons of plastic surgery, but just that she is quick. I find her very quick-witted.
She is very quick-witted. I thought they were all good. I wouldn't actually have minded who would have won out of all of the finalists, I think. Because I do really like Monet, and Monique I thought was really good. And also, I started to like Naomi towards the end.
Yeah.
Although she messed up on the Sex and the City thing. She was just mad.
I think I would have been happy if Naomi had won, because I think Naomi was quite a dark horse throughout the whole competition. I think people were assuming that she wouldn't do very well because she's just a model and all this sort of stuff. But she's actually really funny and really creative. And she really, when they did the Judy Garland lip sync thing.
That lip sync was amazing.
She was referencing, like, culture, like popular... popular culture. And so
she was really funny.
She was able to prove herself, like, you know, I am not just about looks, I'm more rounded than that. And I felt kind of sorry for her that she got so much abuse for getting rid of Manila, because she was just doing what she was there to do.
You would, I mean, that's the choice that you would, if you're sensible, you'd go, who's the strongest person? Oh, it's that one. That's the USB stick that I will pick.
USB stick.
At some point, I was watching the final, I went, what lipstick have you chosen? I was like, oh, yeah, they're lipsticks, aren't they? I keep forgetting because they're not lipsticks, are they?
They're lovely USBs.
So what USB stick have you got?
Let's talk. We've already briefly touched upon it, but let's talk about the, for want of a better expression, the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the regular size thing in the room. I don't know. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
What is the elephant in the room?
I want to talk about Latrice being crap. What do you think about Latrice?
I love her so much. I don't know what happened, but...
Why do you love her so much?
From her original season, I think. She was just great. And I follow her on Instagram and stuff. And I like what she says. And I like what she does. I'm just... I think she's really funny. But I just thought in this one, I don't know... why they thought it was a good idea to keep bringing her back, because she didn't look bothered the whole time.
Yeah, it really made me
just
question.
Just like they're going, nah, I don't want to do it really. Don't want to get involved. Don't really care. Do you know I'm getting married? That's all I care about.
It really made me question how I feel about Latrice, because I always liked Latrice and I liked her on season 4. But then I was watching it and I thought, why do I like Latrice? And I think I just like Latrice because everyone loves Latrice.
No, she was great on her original season. She was really funny and she did really well.
But she wasn't great on All Stars 1. It was mediocre on All Stars 1. And she moans.
Yeah.
And she's very quick to say, oh, let's forget about All Stars 1, the tomfoolery and all that stuff. But she performed better on All Stars 1 than she did on All Stars 4. So it seemed weird that she just wanted to dismiss it.
I think she was just riding on the legacy. And if you do that, you kind of lose the original point of it, because if you're not as good as you were before, then doing an All-Stars will just make you look worse. I don't know why you think that's a good idea or why you wouldn't try. It just looked like she didn't really care.
Yeah, because I mean, this is her third foray into the RuPaul's Drag Race competition. And it just, I don't know, I just didn't get her at all. I like her. Do not get me wrong. And I would go and see Latrice if she was performing in Leeds or something. I would go and see her. But I think she didn't prove herself amongst her peers when her peers were doing better, or at least more entertaining than her.
It just looked not even like she wasn't trying. Maybe she was... She just looked really tired.
But even
the whole time,
the very first,
it's like no enthusiasm.
The very first episode when they had to do their what do you call it? When they do their what do you call it?
I don't know. What do you call it?
In the very first episode when they do their talents, the talent show.
Oh, yeah, I really like the talent show.
But she just came out and waved some flags. I mean, at least Farrah Moan had a little set. And she was doing, although she fell over, she was doing burlesque. She was, you know, she was taking the audience on a journey. Latrice just came out, just waved some flags around. I mean, well, that's lovely, but what else have you got? I mean, I can't watch you wave some flags for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was happening there.
I thought, what? And, like, Trinity had a whole piece rehearsed, and with costume and with set, as did Manila.
Yeah.
But... yeah, come on, Latrice, you can do better than that.
I think the best bit for Latrice was when they dragged up their friends. That was nice because it was heartwarming and it was lovely to see the connection. It wasn't like a great
but it wasn't,
transformation.
But there was no family connection. When Michelle said to her, what's the connection? She said, well, it's ice and fire. It's like ice and fire are not families. That's opposites. Like, you've completely gone against
the
concept
family
of the show. If you said, I'm ice and water, we're going to, you know, this is ice and frost. This is, you know, ice and fire do not belong together. So, yeah.
It's just nice when she's being really human. And I like that, but it didn't always come across as her connecting with people. I don't think she connected with people. She was just there, giving it all the old what they doing looks. Ugh, can't be asked with this.
Yeah. Oh, I need another 10,000 for my wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure. But never mind. Let's all just watch season 4 again and cheer ourselves up.
What did you think of the final 4 song, Super Queen?
Oh God, you're making me think.
Super Queen.
I loved. Who did I love? I loved all of the outfits. Actually, they're all really good. And who did well? Oh, you'll have to remind me. I didn't think.
Well, Monet had a good, had good lyrics in her song.
Yeah.
Monique's lyrics. She just was describing someone. There was nothing. Yeah. So in the song, when they make the songs, I always look forward to the songs because the lyrics often really, either they're really clever, they're really witty, or they tell you something about the queen. They, you know, tell you something about their personality. And Monet's was fine, but I wasn't wowed. Monique just described a queen. She's like this, and she's like this. She's like, okay, yeah. Great, lovely. Trinity was okay, but even Trinity, I thought, was a little lackluster. But Naomi was making kind of funny cultural references in her song, and I kind of feel like she got a bit sidelined. Because when she was talking about how her lips are pumped so much like the old Kylie Jenner, that's not her lyric, but that's kind of what the sentence was about. I thought, oh, that's really interesting. You're kind of relating it to other people, and it's, you know, it's pop, commenting on the zeitgeist and stuff. And yeah, I thought Naomi was the best one in the whole, and she had that catsuit.
I think she got she got better and better, and the staging was really good, and her choreography and stuff was amazing.
Yeah, I found
she lifted her up. It helps if you're skinny, doesn't it? The lifting up business.
Hoist. So with All Stars 2, when they did Regenerate You, I thought that was like really, really good. But they were lucky because potentially, with the exception of Roxy Andrews, all three of them had really clever, great, well-written lyrics. Alaska's, Detox and Katia's, they were all really good, really funny and super charismatic. Roxy Andrews, not so much, but 3 out of 4 is, you know, really good. And then they did, last year, when they did the Kitty Girl, it was an awesome song. And they kind of added their own little verses and the way they performed it as a one continuous shot.
Yeah, that was really good.
It was just really good and really entertaining. You're kind of watching it thinking, wow, this is awesome. But I know with Super Queen, I thought, it's not what I was hoping it to be. It felt like they're in a studio singing a kind of mediocre song. None of their charisma is really kind of jumping out. It just felt a bit like, oh, is that it?
Do you think they're running out of ideas?
I don't know. I think they kind of, it's hard, I think, to match the expectations because they've done so well in the past. I think Regenerate You was a fluke because they, three of the queens were excellent. I mean, they could have had any of the four doing it, and it could have been terrible because their lyrics were naff. But they were really, really good. And last year, Trixie was good. Even BB, although she's a bit crazy. BB was good last year, and Shangela is awesome. Kennedy was fine, but her lyrics and performance of it were fine.
Do you think there's a lessening of quality because they're doing All Stars so much? Because you can't say it's like the super, super race when you're doing it every year. Because you can only have so many queens doing it, right?
I don't know. I think they could manage it maybe a little better. Because even if they're all terrible, I don't know. Maybe tell them exactly what they want in terms of lyrics, or maybe get a special guest in to help them with their lyrics, maybe.
Yeah, but if it's an All Stars Best of the Best competition, but how many have they had every year now?
Well, this is the fourth one, but it's not Best of the Best. It's kind of the best of the people that didn't make it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but you know, you can only have that for so long. Otherwise, you're just doing like all of the runners up from season 11 are going in next time because we run out of other people.
Yeah, well, I suppose if they've got 10 contestants and they've got a pool of now 126 contestants, and if they're bringing people back who have won previously now and people that have already been on All Stars, there is still quite a rich pool of talent of people that didn't get through.
Maybe Latrice could go on again.
Get Latrice back. Come on, Latrice. Show us what you can do. But even people like Jujubee and even Ongina from Series 1, I think Ongina would be really good. I think there's still lots of talent they can bring back in. And even Kim Chi. Okay, maybe I don't know what she'd be like lyrically, but visually she's incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I don't know. I'm just happy that Trinity made it. Good old Trinity. And Monet's fine. I've got nothing against Monet. Although Monet eats on her podcast, which drives me bonkers.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking I could fancy something to eat, and now I feel bad now. Because
I mean, you can eat if you're not talking, but Monet talks and eats at the same time.
She's like shoveling in crisps.
It's like, I'm listening to you. I'm not just watching you. I'm listening to you. My ears are heightened. You know, look after your listeners.
Don't eat in podcasts.
Maybe that's just my opinion. If she was singing, she wouldn't. You know, when she's doing a weird opera. Which, by the way, her singing wasn't that great, I thought, considering she's supposed to sing it. But anyway, don't want to be shady. But if she was doing one of her concerts or whatever, she sings baritone or I don't know whatever she sings, she would not just like, oh, I'm just going to have some peanuts while I'm singing this. She wouldn't do it. So why would you do it on a podcast? Why? Why would you do it, Jenny?
Why? 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 I don't know why. It's not like, you know, people like Parkinson's interviewing and having a snack. He doesn't do that,
does he? You don't do it. You don't do it.
Jonathan Ross isn't eating crisps.
No.
No.
No. Anyway, Rubbish. So All Stars 4, how do you rate it in terms of the other All Stars 4? Was it a good All Stars 4? Did you enjoy it? Was it good?
I did enjoy it. I don't think I've got the knowledge to rate it amongst the other All Stars, but I enjoyed it very much. It's probably the first one I've seen properly all the way through because of, and we watched a bit of it on YouTube and it's not so good a quality. So seeing it as a proper show all the way through made it a lot better for me than normal, but I don't think that.
It does change it when you kind of just have to catch bits on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. I think the thing that I missed with All Stars 4, do not get me wrong, I loved it. I love everything about the show. I love the messages it's putting out there. I love RuPaul. I love Michelle Visage. Do not get me wrong, I love it. But
do you love it, Mark? I'm not sure about your feelings for it.
I didn't love it.
You're all right about it.
But I didn't enjoy it in the same way that I enjoyed All Stars 3. And what I loved about All Stars 3 is that there was such a journey of some of the, particularly with Trixie, how she started off okay, but then she just got worse and she got in the bottom and she got upset. And then she just, from that moment when she, in episodes after that, she just got better and better. So it felt like you were watching her journey go from, oh no, I'm really bad, I can't believe I'm doing this, to I'm actually going to do better, I'm actually going to go and win this. And so I feel like it had a real kind of story arc of their journey, for want of a better expression. Whereas in All Stars 4, there wasn't really much of a journey with anyone. Because everyone kind of performed at the level that they started at. No one did really bad and was in the bottom and then became better and, you know, really kind of flipped it. And I found All Stars 3 just really frustrating that Shangela didn't get through into the final. And I didn't have any kind of crazy feelings of injustice over All Stars 4, apart from Manila. Mm. But I kind of got over that 2 episodes later because I got used to not seeing Manila. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
I think if Manila was in the final 4 and didn't get in the top 2, that'd be terrible. But because she didn't even get in the top 5. But oh my gosh.
You are right. No one really changed or developed. It was quite flat, I guess.
Well, it's just everyone kind of kept on the same line that they started on. If you imagine like a, I don't know, like a score chart going up and down, and you know, everyone just kind of stayed at their same level. I don't think anyone suddenly became amazing that started off really badly.
Yeah.
And just quickly as well, oh my goodness, how terrible was the script of Kitty Girl? Kitty Girl in the City? Kitty City? The City Girl?
I was so excited. And then I started watching, I was like, oh, it's just ruining Sex and the City for me now.
Well, I
ruined something so lovely.
I watched it and I grew even more fond of Trinity because I've never watched Sex and the City. And with Trinity going, well, I didn't watch it. I don't know what this is. I thought, thank goodness I'm not the only person that doesn't watch Sex and the City.
I don't think Naomi Small's watched Sex and the City either, judging by her portrayal.
I don't think she really got what she was supposed to do. I think I don't think she thought she had to actually imitate. I think she thought she was just that character. As in, she just read those lines and wore that hair and could do what she want with it.
And then just made a face, a lot of faces.
Yeah, it was just so rubbish. It was just rubbish. The only good thing about it was Monique Hart playing that character that no one knows of anyway.
Yeah, she smashed it. She was really good. It's like the best bit.
So she goes, "Hey, skanks."
It's really hard though, because it's so the whole Sex and the City thing. There's such recognizable characters that unless you do it really well, then it's gonna look rubbish.
Yeah,
it's not an homage to like a Spanish soap opera where you can have different types of characters.
Yeah.
They're like actual people. It's a lot more difficult.
And I think that's why in season 9, when they did that 90210 sketch, they were just characters within the world of 90210. It worked. Although they were kind of, you know, this character is kind of like that character. They were never kind of exact copies. And so I think that worked really well.
Yeah.
Because they're working in a framework of this is Samantha, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It just...
It's really difficult and weird.
It makes it too disappointing when you realise it's not working.
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, sorry.
Unless it could have got people to come in, but never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. What can you do? I enjoyed it. I love a bit of All Stars. I just love seeing like my favourite ones come back. It's like, oh, it's them again. And I just love it. I love it.
But now you can have new favourite ones.
New favourite ones.
For season 11.
Should we talk about season 11 real quick?
Let's talk about it really quickly.
I've got the list of contestants. Should I go through them and shall we just talk about what we think about them so far?
Yes, let's do it.
So episode 1 has aired literally just a couple of days ago. And someone has already gone, which I was quite surprised by. Normally they...
Yeah, I wouldn't think someone would.
Is it normal? Well, they certainly did the Gaga episode. But they usually keep them all to the second episode.
No. Like,
no one goes home.
No, people go home in the first episode.
Well, no one went home in season 9. They all got through because they introduced that one that says Cuckoo back. Whose one says Cuckoo?
Yeah.
Whatever her name is. She's very memorable, her. And then last year, I don't think they got rid of someone on the first date, did they?
I think they did.
Pretty
sure they did.
Because they kept them. Anyway.
Wasn't it Vanjie?
Oh, yeah, but was that episode 1?
Yeah.
It was episode 1. Anyway, I was quite surprised that someone went. I think I'm just still on this hangover of, oh my God, the Lady Gaga episode is so good, where they just all stayed. okay, right, here we go. I've got the list and it is in alphabetical order. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Wikipedia. So, first up, Akira C. Davenport from
Dallas, like a Texas. I've got a mental block with any Davenport because I'm like, I can't. It takes a little while for me to get them in their own individual, persona.
Well, I think isn't it? They've got 3 Davenports.
There's a couple of Davenports,
but I don't think they're all the same family Davenports. So I think there's a New York Davenports and a South.
Davenport?
Yeah, it's like Texas. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like the O'Haras. Yeah. There's like the O'Haras, Texas, and the Chicago O'Haras. So I don't think the same. But anyway, Akira C. Davenport. I can't remember who that is, to be honest.
Exactly. See?
Ah,
let's
rubbish.
Wait and see.
How about Ariel Versace? Ariel's the one who dressed up in green for La Ganja.
I liked that. I thought she was good.
She was the one that kept moaning about Silky Nutmeg, which I very much approved of. Because I could not stand...
They were all moaning about Silky Nutmeg.
Oh, like, Silky, shut up. I've never felt so annoyed by a contestant straight away. It's just I don't know if it's in the editing or she would have driven me absolutely crazy if I'd share a space with her and she was just constantly just vying
like
for
attention.
It's
like camera-hogging, like attention-seeking. Just grow up.
It just made me think do not want to be around this person. And I don't think...
Yeah.
I don't think Silky is understands that when someone behaves like that, they behave in a way that alienates them rather than endears them. Mm-hmm. And you want to endear people. So Ariel...
Mark, this might be the start of her journey. Don't knock it. She might improve.
And well, then I hope so. Like,
I love Silky.
I really hope so because I really don't like her at the minute. And it's because of that need for attention that's driving me bonkers. So Ariel was the one that off camera in the interviews was saying, bloody Silky.
Yeah.
She's fine.
I do like her.
26.
Yeah, she's fine. She's fine.
She's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's all I know about.
She seems fine.
She seems fine. Okay, third, Brooklyn Lynn Heights. Oh, no, Brooklyn Heights. Not Brooklyn Lynn Heights.
Brooklyn Lynn Heights. I like Brooklyn Lynn Heights.
Brooklyn Heights.
I thought she did really well on the runway challenge. I liked her a lot.
I really like her. There's something about her I just feel really endeared to her. I think it's because she seems so... Not don't say normal, but so like relatable, down to earth.
I was going to say that. Yeah,
that
not like a caricature.
Yeah,
an actual person. Yeah,
someone that you want to go to the bar with and have a drink. and mm-hmm. have a chat and talk about your day. And, yeah. you know, I really, really like
Definitely.
Her. And she's from Nashville, Tennessee, but actually from Canada. Oh, so I don't know why. Is the Wikipedia wrong? Why is it saying Nashville, Tennessee? I thought she's from Canada.
She would be from Canada because she dressed up like a Mountie. So she's
exactly.
from Canada.
Ugh, who knows? Ugh. Anyway, I've got a big thumbs up for Brooklyn Heights.
Mm-hmm.
You do too, Jenny, yeah?
I do too, actually. Yes, I do. I like her a lot.
I like Brooklyn. Number four, Honey Davenport. I liked
See,
Honey.
See, it's a Davenport.
I remember Honey Davenport because she had like the beehive on her boobs. Like the hexagons for the beehive.
I thought
she...
really weird to me. It looked like someone quite... squashed her body flat and just like left big hips. I wasn't sure of the whole outfit.
I thought she was quite fun off camera. I remember like agreeing with things she was saying. I think she was moaning as well about Silky. But she's fine. I'm not like, oh my God, Honey Davenport's amazing. Honey Davenport from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next we've got Kahana. Kahana. Kahana Montrese.
Oh, yes.
Kahana was in the lip sync for your life.
She the one with the funny tights?
Yes.
Yes, I like the funny tights.
I quite like.
I thought she did a good lip sync.
I thought she was fine. I thought, wow, she could be someone that I would not mind looking at all day.
What does she look like? I can't remember. Let's have a look.
She's a very beautiful man, Kahana Montrese, and she's drag daughter of Coco Montrese.
Ah, oh, that's nice.
I'm gonna find a picture and show you.
Doesn't translate well as a podcast, Mark, but okay.
Oh, that's a bit of a weird one, but can you see?
I can see why you'd like her.
I don't know.
Can't see the face. It's got a big hat on.
This one's fine.
Oh yeah, very pretty. Yes,
Kahana. I think Kahana could probably,
very pretty.
Could probably be a model, but I don't know if I'm just comparing against the other ones that perhaps couldn't be models. But anyway. I'm liking Kahana.
Yes.
Kahana. From Las Vegas.
A nice name. Okay.
Next up we have, I believe I could be completely wrong, and so I want to really apologise in advance if I am wrong, so I haven't done a lot of research into this, but Mercedes Iman Diamond, I think, is Drag Race's first Muslim contestant.
I have read that
think
too,
it's Mercedes.
So I think you are right.
Is it Mercedes?
I think it's Mercedes,
Mercedes Iman Diamond. She was in the bottom
three.
It seems
weird that she's the first one.
I don't know if they mean practicing Muslim. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I'm here for it.
It seems unusual, but yes.
What did you think?
There. I thought just when it came to, you know, the photo task, which I loved the first one, but she just didn't seem to be with it. She just seemed to be very much just dressing.
Yeah.
Not much personality.
But I think also because she was with Delta Work, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I think Delta was maybe a bit too, because isn't Delta RuPaul's makeup artist now? Doesn't Delta do all the makeup with Raven?
No.
Or hair? For every episode,
maybe.
They work for RuPaul in some way, Delta and Raven. I'm not really quite sure which. I feel like Delta was kind of saying to RuPaul, this one's a bit shit, isn't she? Because she was saying that she's not driving or, you know, I kind of felt like it was, I don't know. But I thought she was a little bit boring.
I liked the bling, but it seemed like the bling was wearing her.
Yeah, and
rather than her.
And Michelle didn't like her makeup. Said she had too much white on her face, so she had a mask on. She's from Minneapolis.
Okay.
And she's 30. Next up, we have you know who's next?
Who's next?
We've got Nina West from Columbus, Ohio. It was so.
God, you might as well. Yeah, I've never felt so emotionally invested in someone coming on. I was like, oh my God, I can really feel tension.
It was such a weird feeling. It's awful when you're watching something like this and other people are involved in how far they do on the show. It just makes you feel so nervous. But it was so good, like seeing Nina West. It was just when she's just talking about things, it just brings back so many memories of just being there and, you know, just seeing her, she'd just be there in the bar, like, well, not be there, you know, she'd be performing. Yeah. And it just makes, when you have such fond memories of a place and a time in your life, see, if anyone doesn't know, Chris and I used to live in Columbus, Ohio Chris was there for 2 years, I think I was there in all, on and off for a year, 18 months, something like that. Because I was coming back and going back and forward a bit. And yeah, so Nina West was the queen that was in our bar that would perform and do shows and stuff. And, you know, who we'd buy drinks for and have chats with and stuff. And so it's just, we had such a great time over there. And it's just like, oh, all those memories and seeing our friends on Facebook talking about it. It's just really lovely. Really lovely. But how do you think she did?
Not great.
What did you...
Poor thing. I just think it was just nerves. It was so obvious how thickly it was laid on that, oh, you've auditioned 9 times. It's taken you so long to get here. Let's hope you don't mess up. Oh, are you going to mess up? Don't mess up. Oh, yeah. Like that. And I just felt so bad because obviously you could see like the nerves just radiating off her. And it felt really uncomfortable.
I think.
So I hope she just like can calm now and just go forward, because otherwise it's just going to be really tense the whole time.
If she can get out of her head, she'll be fine. But I think she's kind of, because it was the same with Mayhem last year. Everyone's like, Mayhem's finally on the show.
She's
on the
show.
She should have been on the show years ago. And now she's finally there. And then I don't think she lived up to what everyone thought she was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I just hope Nina West doesn't do that. But we'll see. But Nina West has mentioned this podcast on her podcast, hasn't she, Jenny?
She's mentioned our names. So yeah, we're podcast buddies.
And this was a while ago. This wasn't like...
Friends of the show.
Yesterday. I'm 100% Team West. Team West all the way.
And I think we should nail our colours on our flag and say we are Team West for this one.
And can I just say,
we'll do banners, we'll do stickers, we'll tweet it.
We'll do merch. All proceeds.
We'll do merch.
So
don't say that, all the proceeds.
Weekend just gone, or the weekend gone before that, she was in a... It's like a community production of The Little Mermaid that was to raise money for, I think it was a children's hospice or something. And it was in a theatre, one of the theatres in downtown Columbus, the Palace Theatre, which is, I think, about 2,600 seater. So it's bigger than the biggest theatre in the West End in London. It's a huge theatre. And it sold out 3 nights. It completely sold out. That's just awesome.
She's got so much support. You can see it from all of her social media stuff. It's really lovely.
Yeah. And as much as everyone loves The Little Mermaid, if Nina West wasn't in it, because she played Ursula, if Nina West wasn't in it, it may have sold well. It may have been a popular ticket. But to sell out every performance in such a big theatre is incredible. Yay! Columbus, Ohio! OH! Ohio! We love Columbus! Okay, right, that's enough. Let's move on. Plastique Tiara from Dallas, Texas, the youngest contestant, 21. What do you think of Plastique Tiara?
Yeah, I didn't mind. Nothing mad stands out yet, but yeah.
I really like Plastique. There's something about her. But I don't know if I now have a weird, unfair expectation of the young, like, what do you call them? Ingenues? Are they ingenues? Ingenues? Not engineers.
I don't know if they're engineers. I think they are engineers.
oh my God, who won it last year? Aquaria. So Aquaria was just so innovative and so challenging.
Do you want another Aquaria? It did seem quite Aquaria-ish.
But she seems like she could
that, be. And also be in her club. Scarlet Envy seemed quite Aquaria-ish.
Do you think? I thought Scarlet Envy was more like, Thorgy Thor.
Really? Did you think? I did not think that.
Just kind of lanky and annoying, and thought she was better than she was.
No, I didn't do that.
I didn't really like it. But I thought I was impressed with Plastique Tiara. I thought she liked it. Okay, next up we've got Raja O'Hara from Dallas, Texas, as well. Same as Plastique. I couldn't tell you who that was.
I don't remember her.
No, I don't either.
No.
Nope. Moving
try
on.
Try harder.
Next one, Scarlet Envy.
Yes.
With the long hair.
I don't know. I've got real, like, I think it's her eyebrows kind of freaked me out.
She looked I like the look. She just looked stoned for the whole episode. Maybe she's got sleepy eyes. She might be a bit of Pearl.
Ooh, yeah, I can see that. That kind of Pearl thing, but yeah.
I wasn't.
We'll see.
I wasn't mad about it. I thought it was fine.
It's fine.
How about Sugar Cane? Sugar Cane, apparently, according to Wikipedia, Sugar Cane's first name is Jesus.
That's good. Jesus or Jesus?
Probably Jesus. Jesus Martinez Jr. from New York as well. So Scarlett and Sugar from New York. What did you think of Sugar Cane?
Yes, I can't remember.
Sugar Cane has only been doing drag like a year and a half.
Is she she was like 18 months. I thought that was crazy. Yeah, she's 40. To do so well. That's madness, isn't it?
I thought she was fine.
Yeah, good.
Good, solid. Good, all solid. Right. Good, solid. Contestant. Next up, we have Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
Right, when Silky came out, I thought I'd really love her because she really owned it. And I liked the energy and it was just mad. And she looked great. And then she just went just being super annoying the whole way through. So who knows?
It's like, it felt like she was treating all the other contestants like they came to see her show.
Yeah.
Like when she got them saying her catchphrase, it's like, well, okay, that's funny once, but maybe you should ask other people if they do similar thing and, you know, to pay it back a bit. But then she just kept saying it. It's like, I don't even know what the phrase was. It's something like, do you have an attitude or something like that?
I can't remember it.
It's like, I don't think she realised how kind of disrespectful that was to everyone. It's like, it's not your show.
And then she like monopolised old Miley Cyrus and stuff.
Yeah,
like they all wanted to talk to her.
Literally, she grabbed her on her back and ran away with her.
Yeah.
Literally. I don't know. I really hope that was just kind of nerves manifested into excited energy rather than that's actually what she's like. Because if she's like that, I'm just... But also I worry a bit that she's going to get lots of negative attention for the way she's being. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I could not care less about her right now. It sounds awful, doesn't it? Isn't that horrible? Anyway.
Let's just see.
Let's keep an open mind. Let's not judge people too harshly, too soonly. Mm-hmm. Let's just see what happens next. But I'm not a fan. She's from Chicago, so she probably knows Shea Coulee. Because she's from Chicago. Or Vixen. They're from Chicago as well. I remember Shea Coulee, she goes, I'm from Chicago. Bitch, I'm from Chicago. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Silky Nutmeg Ganache. Next up, we have Vanessa Vanjie Matteo.
Oh, I think so good.
I love
Vanjie. The little hiding. And
I just thought it was so funny. But I think it's really, really nicely edited, the way that after every comment, that she kind of appeared above the thing as if no one could spot her.
Yeah.
Like a little squirrel hiding. And then when they started talking about it, she just opened up the thing. Like, I'm here.
I'm here. That was really good. I like her.
Vanjie's real name is Jose Cancel.
That's nice.
Don't cancel Jose. Vanessa Vanjie Matteo. And she's from LA. And she's drag daughter of Alexis Matteo. Is it Alexis or Alexa? Anyway, she is on season 3.
I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Yeah. Did Wikipedia just tell you that?
No, I just know this. I just know. I've got this all in my head.
It's amazing.
Who was on All Stars 1 as well. She's in a team with Yara Sofia. Okay, I've got high hopes for Vanjie.
I think so.
She's one of those people that...
Such a difference from last year as well. Just like completely, like really more polished and for lots of gold.
Yeah, she literally was polished. She actually was gilded herself.
Gilded. Not so much gilded from last year.
Next up, we've got Evie Oddly.
I liked Evie Oddly.
Evie Oddly was fine.
She came in with a remote control car. I like the weird hair. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's fine. I'm not... I don't know. I think she's like this season's answer to... oh my gosh. Nina Benina Brown. Like,
do you think...
Just the strange... The one that's a bit more alternative. The
strangeness, yeah.
But I
liked it though.
I don't know. She's fine. She's fine.
There's always room for a remote control car.
Always.
There's not enough remote control cars and things.
And, you know, I liked it when she gave up and just dragged it along with her. Just made it follow her behind.
Had enough now.
And when someone said...
A little long tail.
And someone said, there's no room for Hot Wheels in this race.
Yeah. What's a car doing in there?
It's, like, well,
it's called Drag
it's
Race.
It's Drag Race. So
it's pretty accurate, isn't it?
She's
pretty good.
She's the most literal contestant. Yeah. She brings her own car. Yeah. Evie Oddly. And last up, we've got Soju.
Ah, poor Soju.
I did really like Soju, but
I don't think you should talk about cysts.
It's just like, oh, I don't want to hear about this. This is grim.
I didn't do very well because I've got a really bad cyst.
It's like, okay. So did that make you create that hideous outfit?
Maybe she was really uncomfortable. She couldn't move very well to stitch things. So she just thought, but then she was like, it's great. I don't have to tuck. I don't have to cinch. I'll just go out in a big old blanket. I don't think you get what the program's about.
It was strange. I think she could have done it quite nicely, but it was just like a very mediocre attempt at something maybe kimchi would do. Because I think kimchi's done those silhouettes before.
Second-rate kimchi kind of vibes.
Yes, I think they know. Do they know each other? She talked about kimchi on the show. I don't know if they're... Because they're both from Korea. Mm. But she's from Los Angeles, apparently, as well.
That's very nice.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
So bottom two was Kahana and Soju. So who's your... Who have you got high hopes for then this season? Who's your top three?
Well, I think Nina West. Yay!
Nina!
I think Benji will do very well. And I like Brooke, actually.
Brooklyn Heights.
So is that my top three?
Are we going to have like a reserve space for Silky in case she suddenly gets a reality check and realises how obnoxious she's being and actually becomes a really good contestant?
Yeah. I don't know. Can we do that thing we did last year where we did the Fantasy League Drag Race? I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're still doing it. I'll find it. I'll find it online. I'll send it
to you. We'll find it. We'll do it. And we can do it on here and then people can know who we're picking.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to say my top three are Brooklyn Heights, Nina West and Plastique Tiara.
Oh, okay, cool.
With fourth being Vanjie.
Who would my fourth be? Who's that nice pretty one that you like?
Kahana. Kahana Montrese.
I put Kahana in because he's very pretty.
You heard it here first, guys.
I'm just going purely on appearance now. I don't really care.
This has been a very long RuPaul's Drag Race bonus episode.
How long have we been talking? It's for ages.
It's been kind of 45 minutes at least.
Uh-oh, that's not a bonus. It's longer than normal. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, let's wind this up. Thank you very much for listening if you have made it
this far.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you. Thank you, dear listener.
Let us know what you think. Top threes.
Just ping us a tweet, ping us an email, ping us a message. Reach out to us in whatever way, on Facebook or anything you like. Let us know what you think. And we'll read out your answers. If we do another RuPaul's Drag Race bonus episode, we might do. We're not sure yet. If we do.
Do one right at the very
end. We'll read out your thoughts. So get in touch. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Mark.
It's been a lovely bonus episode. And here's to season 11. Let's see what happens. Will this series be Elevengery? Oh, I fucked up.
What?
Elevengery. Is it going to be an Elevengery series?
Elevengery.
I think so. Let's see. So, later. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.